Hello everyone, welcome back to your weekly podcast. For this week's episode, we are going to analyze two media resources, one speech and one image, that caused a great impact during the context of World War II. To do this, I'm not alone today. We have a special guest in today's show. His name is Christian, and he will help us to analyze what is the impact of these two resources in the context of influencing people's perspective during World War II. Welcome, Christian. Well, first of all, Christian, what do you think about the symbolisms that we can observe in these two resources? What can you say are the most important differences or the most important characteristics that we can point out of them?
Okay, so in the case of symbolism, it's interesting how in the propaganda, this has a huge message to understand it, since the soldier has in his head a flag, the Japanese flag. So in this case, any person can find out that it is a Japanese soldier. So this symbol gives a whole context to the situation and what the propaganda is trying to sell. And also, in the case of the speech, Mr. Churchill, the Prime Minister of Britain, shows this fight for the islands and for their beaches like a place to fight, like an important place, like if the whole world's future depends on this fight, to make the soldiers think they're not sacrificing their lives without reason.
Yeah, you're right, I agree. I can see that, for example, in the posters, it makes such a contrast with the symbolisms with the speech, because for example, the poster has more opportunity to point out symbolisms like the images that it uses or the colors that it uses. Well, in the speech, there is no much chance of comparing these elements, for example. But well, now to continue with this analysis, for example, in your opinion, what would you say about, for example, the theme that you can observe in the speech or in the poster? What can you tell about this?
So, in also the things they're trying to show, it are a little different. In the case of the propaganda, they're trying to make people with money or any people start to invest in the war, helping the country, so the country has more income and more resources to the war. And also, this is showing, the theme showed here is that the Japanese are kidnapping the woman, their wives. So it's trying to make especially men to invest in war bonds. And also, in the case of the speech, Mr. Churchill is showing informative, what is the situation in that time, but also it's trying to make the soldiers understand that they have to fight for their country, because it's a war and all their future depends on how the war goes. So the older soldiers have to fight with all their energies, and all the people has also to fight for to saving the country from the Nazi attack.
Yes, precisely that was what I was going to say. For example, if you consider it from another perspective, both resources try to show a nationalistic perspective about their nation. For example, in the first case, in the propaganda, the Americans try to influence on their people on how they should fight for their country against a dangerous enemy, for example. But in the speech, Churchill is attempting to show or to rise this nationalism by motivating its soldiers to fight no matter where. This is a resource that actually incites with audio, like to wake up this strength to unite all his country to fight against the enemy, don't you think? Now, well, we can continue and keep going on. For example, about the organization of the material, what do you think that we can find on these resources? How do you think it's different, for example?
In the case of organization, I found that in the propaganda, the structure is similar to an advertising, since it has a huge title to call attention, color, a lot of color, to also call the attention of the people. And as well, it uses numbers and percentages, like in the publicity, when it's shown a discount. But in this case, this percentage is more to sell the idea that you can invest in the war, like 10% of your incomes in the war. And also in the case of the speech, it's the structure is a more chronological structure, since it shows how Churchill talks about past events, and then he goes to the present to get to the soldiers and tell them, you're not fighting for anything, you're fighting for a whole country, we shall fight for this, and we shall go against and give all we have.
Yes, for example, in my opinion, we can find that in the speech there is a little bit more impact of the organization aspect, because, for example, Churchill's abilities to address to the people, to the public, to the civilians, to try to recruit people or to speak directly to the soldiers, the organization that he uses to argument throughout all his speech is very powerful. The way in which he speaks about different topics that are connected among each other, that sum up to the cause of fighting against the Germans, is a really important element, because it creates a logic development of what he is exposing. And for example, in the case of the propaganda, the organization maybe would address aspects a little bit more, like the design that is being used, the way in which the texts are displayed, and those kind of technical stuff. But in this case, for example, when we were talking before about the symbolisms employed in these resources in which the propaganda was going ahead, well, maybe in this aspect, I feel like the speech is going ahead in fact of organization, don't you think? Now, in the aspect of progression, how can you identify the tone shifts that we can find in both the propaganda and the speech? Do you think these are relevant on the way in which they are transmitting the message that they attempt to communicate?
So, the progression for the propaganda, in this case, to identify like the tone or like what they want to make make the people like put their attention to, is mostly because of the capital letters. Like, they use a lot of capital letters, and some of these some words are like bigger. In this case, horror, it's bigger to show that if you don't invest in the war bonds, the horror will come to their families, to their wives, of each person that doesn't help. And also there it is at the end of the propaganda, an exclamation, showing this also this change of tone. And in the case of the speech, it is clearly that since Mr. Churchill wants to give the soldiers an inspiring message, he'll need to be active in their tone, in his tone, but also this tone will change in the quotes that he uses.
Yeah, for example, now once again we can say that the speech has a little bit more relevance in impacting on the public. For example, the tone shifts that we can observe on the speech tend to show different perspectives, like for example the politics, then they try to appeal to nationalism, but healthiness in nationalism, like a Western model of nationalism rather than an insane or a forced nationalism, just like to boost the nation's feeling to fight for it, you know. And for example, in the propaganda, we can't observe much of these tone shifts. For example, maybe we can establish a comparison between the title of the announcement and then the little text that appears in it, but there's no much tone shifts in it. So then we can say that, for example, the speech is once again ahead because it employs more resources to impact on the public, you know. Now, in the case of the speaker, the audience, and the situation, what can you observe? This is referred as the big three. So what can you tell about the speaker, the audience, and the situation that we can observe? In which resource do you think we can observe a higher impact of these elements to transmit the message?
In the case of the speaker, in the propaganda, it's possible that the U.S. Army is the responsible for creating this propaganda, since the U.S. and Japan had a conflict, a significant conflict during World War II. But also, Britain can be one of the responsible countries of creating this propaganda, also to receive some help from their citizens. So also the audience in this case is mostly for their citizens to help with the incomes for the war, to have more sources. And the situation is obviously during the World War II and during a tough time for Britain and US, for the Allies in general, and to maintain this protection, these attacks to the Nazi regime, it was needed for some money of help from the people. And in the case of the speech, I think the speaker is clearly the Prime Minister of Britain, Mr. Churchill, and the audience is mostly all the soldiers to inspire them, and the situation obviously is also a tough situation with no hope from mostly the soldiers, but Mr. Churchill tries to give them some hope and energy to start confronting their enemies.
Yes, because for example, I think that in this case, we can observe that there is a little equality among the resources, because in the case of the speaker, it's easy to identify the speaker in both sides, because, for example, in the case of propaganda, we could say that the speaker is a major organism, not only like in the case of the speech that is only Churchill, but for example, in the propaganda, we could say it's the whole America, for example. It's like a perspective of a whole country. Then the audience, once again, is a little diverse, because in the case of of the propaganda, it's not directed only for the Americans. It could also influence on other people that were against the Nazi regime. And in the case of the speech, it's like a little bit more concentrated on the troops that were in the side of the Allies. In this case, more specifically, the British and the French troops that were motivated by this speech. So there are elements easy to identify. And in the case of the situation, we can observe that both try to address practically the same issues, just that they have different approaches to do this. But for example, both of them employ intelligent strategies to try to make this point clear to their audience. Now, in the case of the atmosphere of both resources, what can you say about it? For example, here's a little bit, there's more space to analyze this, because even though both of the resources are addressing the same issue, they have different ways in which they can express their points of view in this atmosphere. So what can you say about it?
Okay, so the atmosphere represents the propaganda, in this case is totally is showing or giving fear to the people, giving this horror to the people, since it tries to make the people invest in the war. So with fear, like they'll be convinced to make this. And in the case of the speech, It's mostly showing that these soldiers, that the battle that it's coming to for them, it's totally like the last chance for them to recover from all the bad news that they've had during the war.
I would say personally that, for example, both resources use the atmosphere that in which their context is happening into their favor, because they attempt to create this sense of need to fight against the Nazis, and it's because of this that both resources actually appeared, you know, because Churchill's speech and the propaganda chosen are both a response to trying to face this threat in Europe. And for example, the atmosphere in which they develop their messages are is addressed to cause a little bit of tension, to establish this fear among the people. But with this fear, it also comes the strength and the will to fight against this threat. Now, in a case of diction, there's a little bit of aspects in concrete that we can rescue from both resources. What can you say about the diction of these authors' choice of words that influences in both resources?
In the case of the diction, I think that in the propaganda, the words are chosen carefully, since the propaganda can have like too much words, since this will make it not attractive for the people and will be really difficult to convey a message. But in this case, they used specific words that make a huge message with them. And one of them are the word invest. In the part it says invest 10% in war bonds. And this is mostly like to sell the idea of wasting that money to the people, like to make the people like do not think that they're wasting their money, they're investing their money for security. So in that way, the idea of losing money, it's not so bad for their citizens. And also in the speech, I think that Mr. Churchill chooses more on a formal use of words that makes his image be seen as important and to show a good image to their soldiers, and in that way showing a good message with a good speech and with good language.
You know that I got this feeling that in the case of Churchill, the speech is has a strong appeal to the other structures of words, because it mainly depends on how the speaker exposes his arguments, that it will influence in the people's perspective. For example, in the case of the propaganda, the choice of words, yeah, it's effective because they need to use few words to transmit a strong message, which I consider that is, and it's greatly employed, because it transmits a message and wants to show this fear and this will to fight against the Nazis in a few words. But for example, in the case of the speech, Churchill uses lots of resources to choose his words in order to expose a really strong message. For example, the way in which he tries to motivate his soldiers in the moreover, in the last part, that it repeats constantly that we shall fight in different spaces, in different conditions. All of these, it's a choice of words that appeals principally to the public, and appeals for their feelings, for their emotions, and to change their perspective about specific things. Now, in the case of figurative language, that I think that it's something really specific that we can find in these resources. What can you tell me about this?
The figurative language is always present in literary productions. In this case, in the propaganda, is quite less than the speech, since in the speech it exists a lot more of text and also of figurative language. But in this, in the propaganda, it's found in the sentence, "Keep this horror from your home." The word "home" the propaganda author wants to show that home is representing like a thing or a person. In this case, it's representing to a family or a person that is sentimentally important to the person that's reading this. So this person has fear of that person being hurt by the Japanese army in this case. So this will make the person reading the propaganda invest in war. So also in the case of the speech, is there exists a quite a lot of rhetorical devices, but in this case I choose to simile in which says, however, the German eruption swept like a sharp scythe around the right rear of their armies of the north, representing like a comparison between the German eruption with the scythe, and using the like this comparison getting connected by a connector, in this case like, representing as a total symbol, and giving a comparison that could make the people understand in another way the sentence. Also, it is used in the following sentence, a personification, in the long series of very first battles. In this case, showing what Mr. Churchill think about the battles, and mostly like giving the battles a human characteristics, saying it's fierce in battles, or so representing that the battles are fierce, but a battle is an aspect, and but it's given this human condition.
Yes, I would be agreeing with you with what you have said, because these are important resources that, for example, they are easily employed by Churchill, because the propaganda can't show much of this in their presentation, in their display, but Churchill uses it in very effective ways to add a significant detail or a significant ornament to his speech. Well, Barry, thank you, Christian. Thanks for having come today. Looking forward to see you soon. Now, to finish this up, I would like to add personally two more elements that we can observe in these resources. The first one is the imagery, or the appealing to the five senses of the public. And for example, in the case of the American propaganda, the colors, for example, the message, these all appeals specifically to the people's senses, because they are trying to show in a more understandable way, or a more physical way, the way the message they want to transmit is projected. And for example, the type of letter, the type of drawings that is exposed, all of these adds in the visual material that people can observe. Otherwise, these can be used in different ways to appeal to the senses of the people. There, in the case of Churchill's speech, the senses are more, they appeal more into the hearing, the way in which the author can use body language to transmit visual confidence to the people. And for example, I think that in this case, the speech is winning in the case of the appealing to the five senses, or the imagery, because it uses in a more didactic way and in a more free way the way in which they can express all of these kind of senses and this kind of stuff to the people. It's easier to transmit all of these emotions in appealing to the five senses of the people when they can when they are able to see this, or they can listen to this, or they can feel this. Finally, in the case of the tone or the attitude of the speaker, it's inarguably who wins. In this case, Churchill is 100% ahead against the propaganda, because he uses all of his voice tones, his voice resources, to appeal to the public. In this case, if you get the chance of listening the whole speech of Churchill, you'll see that the tone variations in the speech and the attitude that he adopts to present his arguments is really convincing, and really motivates the soldiers even more at that time to fight to defend their country, to defend their ideals. And this attitude of the speaker transmits confidence to the people that are listening to him, which at the end it's more convincing and appeals more to what the speech is able to influence on the listeners. The propaganda is not that kind of able to transmit this, because the attitude shows only one mood. There's no variations on it, which means that it gets a little bit ahead in comparison with the speech. And with this, we'll be pretty much done. In conclusion, we could say that definitely the speech is more able to transmit this message, and is able to speak louder than the propaganda, because even though they're in the same context, the same historical context, the speech is able to use more resources to appeal to the public and to influence more in their perspective and their way of viewing the issue that is being addressed. The propaganda does a really great job in transmitting a visual stimulus on the public, but however, they are not able to reach in the same way to the public that the speech does. So, in definitive, we could say that the speech is able to speak louder than the propaganda. And with this, we'll be done for our chapter for this week. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll looking ahead to see you once more.